extra hand. Thank you, Patrick. This time, the children can be dismissed to Children's Church. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that even those words, a newer song, probably to most of us, and yet I pray that that would be our heart's cry, Lord, to draw near to you and to have you draw near to us. Lord, that describes beautifully, Lord, the call that you give us to walk in intimacy with you, to really know you, to know your voice, to know your presence. And Lord, I just pray that that would be a reality for each person here today. Not only to know that they are saved, to know that they are in relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, but that they would know your presence each day. That they would know your voice and know what it means to walk in a genuine relationship with you. Lord, I just invite your Holy Spirit to be present with us today. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts today. And may we sense your presence, each of us today, as we come to look at your word and examine our lives. And Lord, I pray that today that if there are obstacles in our hearts and our lives that are keeping us from experiencing intimacy with you, Lord, I just pray that you would even begin now just to point those things out that we might lay them at your feet. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jason did indicate that he got a text on Friday. Jim Chapman also got a text. Since I wasn't here last week, I had communicated. Most of you know I preach in series, so I do a lot of preliminary work for each week, and then the week of, I dig in a little deeper into the message for the week. And I had given both Jim and Jason bad information. I told them we were moving on to, we've talked about connecting to God and others. We've talked the last few weeks about growing, what it means to really grow in our relationship with Christ. And I told them both we were moving on to the third step today of engage, and forgot that we had one more week of growth to focus on today. So today we are focusing on the idea of growing in intimacy with God. And so for some of you, the term intimacy in relationship to God, that may seem foreign or seem a little odd, and yet there's a New Testament word called fellowship. 1 John is full of talking about the fellowship that we're designed to have with God. And really, the way that fellowship in the Greek koinonia is described there really matches what we talk about of having intimacy in a relationship with someone. Not just physical intimacy, but a heart intimacy where you really connect with another person. You really connect with that person's heart and hear from that person and hear from one another. Much like what we just sang in that song, that I would draw near to God and God would draw near to me, is that picture of intimacy that God has created us for. He's created for us to not just know that our sins can be forgiven, that we have the hope of eternity, but God wants us to walk with him in an intimate relationship where we know his voice, where we sense his presence in our life. So, you know, I found it interesting, though, as I was thinking that I would skip over this week that I had planned for the last couple months to address the subject of having intimacy with God and developing intimacy with God. The fact that I would skip that made me think about how often in my life, and some of you may relate to this, there have been times in my life where I've focused on doing things for God or focused on living the right way for God and kind of skipping over, forgetting the fact that it really at the heart of it all is a relationship with God where I'm walking with Jesus, I'm hearing Jesus' voice, I'm sensing Jesus' presence working in my life, and I'm walking in step with him. And everything we've talked about the last few weeks, Jim's message last week about personal transformation, the previous week when we talked about walking in the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit and orienting our life around Jesus and his teachings, all of that, they're all connected. We take one subject and we're looking at it each week, but they're all directly connected with developing a genuine relationship with Christ and developing intimacy with him, not just holding out for a future hope, but experiencing God's presence and hearing his voice in your life today. You know, I definitely think of times in my life that I found myself being very busy for God and was really thirsting for more of his presence in my life. And anyone here relate to that? You feel busy? You're doing? a lot for God, or maybe you're focused so much on living the way that God wants you to live, but you're disconnecting it somehow from the idea of walking in relationship with Him. As I was thinking about that temptation that we all can fall into with that, I realized that if you think back to what we've talked about, some of the subjects we've talked about, if you were to remove intimacy from the equation, the dangers it would have. And I don't have this on the screen, but I'd like to share just some thoughts here. We talked a lot about worship, the idea of connecting to God and connecting to others. That picture of worship, I mean, if you think about worship, worship without intimacy with God is just empty ritual. You experience that in your life, or have you experienced that walking into a church where you say, you see all the routines, you see the ritual, but there's just no heart there. There's just not a real connection to God, and the worship is not really leading to a place of realizing that God is drawing you deeper with Him. Worship without intimacy with God is empty ritual. We've talked the last few weeks about growth and change in our life, and if you try to just change to be more like Jesus apart from a relationship with Him, not only is that going to lead to frustration, but it's really not true Christianity. Trying to change your life or grow in your life without God and without intimacy with God and walking in relationship with Him really is just religion, empty religion. And God invites us to have a personal relationship with Him, walk in intimacy with Him, where He begins to create that change in us. Next week, we're going to start talking about engaging in Christ's mission. And we're going to talk about not only service, but also being a witness for Him. And I definitely, this is where I have found myself over the years, especially as a pastor, but I think this is true for many of you, is sometimes we get so caught up in serving God and focused on service, and we forget the intimacy with God that He wants us to be developing. And service without intimacy is religious duty. And most of the time, if we're just doing things out of duty, it may last for a little while, but again, that frustration builds, that emptiness builds, because you're disconnected from the heart of what God has for you. So each of you may connect with one of those things. I'm reminded of John 15:5. We'll look at this text a little later in the message. John 15:5, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do, is it some things? No. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And it's that John 15 passage that we'll look at a little later this morning, talking about abide with me. Jesus is saying abide with me, remain in me, or continue in me. He's talking about keeping that connection with Jesus alive. Because our connection to Christ and our walking in intimacy with Christ is at the heart of everything that we're to experience in the Christian life. If we're trying to worship God apart from that relationship with Him, or trying to grow apart from that relationship with Him, or serve apart from the relationship with Christ that He's invited us into, it's empty ritual, it's frustration, and it's just religious duty. God, through Christ, invites us to connect with Him, to experience what Jesus promises, abundant life, full life. And it can only happen when we enter into a relationship with Christ, not just with the hope of eternity, but entering into a relationship with Christ where we're desiring to grow here and now, developing an intimate relationship with Him, where we're hearing His voice, we're sensing His presence. I want you to think for a moment. Can you think of a time in your life that you know that you sense God, you really sense God's presence? Or a time in your life that you know God was speaking to you very clearly. We sometimes in the church will refer to those as mountaintop experiences. And some of you have experienced those dry spells where you haven't experienced that. And yet, I believe God invites us to come to a place that even in those dry spells, there's still a sense of God's presence and a sense of God's voice and His leading in our life. And I want us to think about a tension that I find in living in life in the church, growing up in the church, that I think I'm probably not alone in how I identify with this. And that, you know, we talk a lot about intimacy with God. Even growing up, we wouldn't have used that language, but we use similar language to talk about the type of relationship that God invited us to. If you grew up in the Alliance, we talked a lot about having a personal relationship with Christ. And a lot of what we talk about, our language talks about intimacy. It talks about having a relationship with God in which there's like a living relationship. It's not just theology. It's not just something that's out in the perimeter of our life, but it's something that is deep within our hearts and our experience. We talk about a relationship with God, and this is where I want us to think for a moment about, if we can go to the next slide. We have a language of intimacy with God sometimes in our circles, in our church, within a lot of the evangelical church today. We talk a lot about intimacy with God and this type of relationship with Him. And the question is, how much does that match up with our experience? And just an idea of some of the ways that we talk about intimacy with God. Think about our opening hymn this morning. Classic hymn. In the words, He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. It's a sense of God's presence. Yeah, thank you, Chelsea. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. I mean, this is not a new concept. It's right there in that old hymn that I grew up singing in the Alliance as a kid, of celebrating God's presence and His voice. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. That's personal. It's intimate. And that's probably one of the, I mean, I'm probably not alone, and that's one of my favorite hymns, especially around Easter time. Probably about 10, 15 years ago, there was a popular chorus, Jesus, Draw Me Close. And it echoed that sentiment of, you're all I want, you're all I ever needed, you're all I want, help me to know that you are near. And the song that was sung this morning is probably new to most of you. You had in that picture that cry of, I draw near to you, and you draw near to me. Later, we didn't sing part of this, but later I believe that song actually uses the phrase, miracle of miracles, that I can come close to you. The idea that we can walk in intimacy with the Creator of the universe, that is a miracle. And it's only because of Christ and who He is that we can enter into that. I love the Psalms. Some of you probably find a lot of comfort in the Psalms. But one of the things I love about the Psalms, especially David's Psalms, is you just see the raw honesty about life and frustration and the struggles. But you also see that hunger and that desire for God's presence. Most people believe in Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12, that this is actually David's prayer after he sinned. And the prophet Nathan confronted him about his sin. He cried out in repentance and wrote these words, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. There was a fear there, not necessarily being disciplined by God, but he didn't want to experience God's Spirit leaving him. He wanted to experience the presence of God and God living and active in his life. Psalm 63, which was part of our call to worship this morning, one of my favorite psalms, says, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Now, I'm not much of a poet, but if I were to try to write a poem about my love for Jana, I might use language like that. Then I'm just hungry for you. I'm thirsty for you. There's a romance in that. There's something, and I've never written a poem like that for Jana. I'm saying it's nothing personal, but you know that language. There's a hunger there. That idea of the thirst and fainting for God's presence. And that psalm goes on. If I know a few years ago I preached on that text, and if you're not familiar with it, I encourage you to reflect on those verses that were our call to worship today. We also have even the images of Scripture, and one of the images we sung about that was sung about this morning is the church is the bride of Christ. How much more of a picture of intimacy with God can you have that God chose to describe God's relationship through Christ with the church? As being Christ being the groom and the church being the bride. We are invited into intimacy with God. And yet, we have this rich language of talking about it. But I want to ask you, not just about whether you agree that, yeah, we talk a lot about this, but how does your talk and the language that we have about intimacy with God match your experience with God? And two questions to ask that. Next slide. How would you describe your experience of intimacy with God? And two key things that I believe are at the heart of really experiencing intimacy with God, and I've already mentioned these already, the idea of God's presence and knowing God's voice. And we're going to look at the scriptures that support that in a moment. But I want you to ask yourself, with this statement, how true is this in your life? I am aware of God's presence throughout the day. Think about that for yourself. I'm aware of God's presence with me throughout the day. And I'm aware of His voice, or God's voice, and I seek to obey His word. Are those two statements true in your life, or are they true sometimes? You can kind of rate yourself however you want. But I want you to think about that as before we look at God's word and really look at what God calls us to in intimacy with Him. I want you to begin by thinking of how you would answer that question. I am aware of God's presence throughout the day, and I'm aware of His voice, and I seek to obey His word. But let's go ahead. Before we look at God's word, I'm going to summarize what really the whole focus, summary of the message today is this. And the words are on the screen. Intimacy with God requires turning away from our sin, unforgiveness, our false identities, and our busyness, and actively pursuing God's voice and His presence. Now, you could shorten this and say at the latter part of it, actively pursuing God. I'm intentionally fleshing that out to not just pursuing God, that's kind of vague, to say that we're not only moving away from those obstacles to intimacy, but of our sin, our unforgiveness, our false identities, and our busyness, and then we're actively pursuing God's voice in His presence. We want to be in His presence. We want Him to draw near to us. We want to be hearing His voice and listening for Him. Today, as we focus on that topic, I want you to be thinking to yourself, what are the things that you must leave behind to pursue deeper intimacy with God? What are the things today that you need to leave behind? And how will you step up your pursuit of God this week? How will you step up your effort in really pursuing intimacy with God? Well, let's go ahead and look at scriptures. And I got to warn you, for those of you that take a lot of notes, I will just apologize. This is like a lot of slides because we're looking at a lot of different scriptures. Don't kill yourself trying to write it all down. This will be on the website later. If nothing else, Sherry, I know this is probably going to drive you crazy, but Sherry takes very detailed notes. But I would just encourage you, even just jot the scripture down. You can look at the scripture in full later. That slide that was just on the screen will be on the screen again, so you don't have to write it down each time. But just don't get caught up in the slides. The slides are here to help. But we are looking at a lot of different scriptures today. I really just encourage you to invite God to speak to you. Jot down what you need to jot down. The full notes will be available on the website later. When we think about intimacy with God, one of the key passages I think of is Matthew 7, 21 through 23. And some of you remember a few years ago, I preached through the Sermon on the Mount. And at the end of Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, He gave three warnings that really were three markers for genuine faithfulness, a mark that you genuinely are a follower of Christ. And you had the warning of the false prophets and the call to fruit. You had the warning of the false foundations and the call to obedience. But you also had this passage, Matthew 7, which was a warning of a false relationship with God and missing the fact that God has called us to really know Him, to be in intimacy, not only obedience, but also walking in intimacy with Him. It says in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Obedience, key theme in chapter 7 of Matthew. On verse 22, "On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, or cast out demons in your name, or do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" I mean, it's a horrific passage if you think about it. These are people that are coming, and Jesus is giving that picture of people coming and saying, "But Lord, we did all these things for you. We did all these things in your name. And Jesus says, I don't even know you. Jesus wants us to be not just walking in obedience to his teaching, but he wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to be in that relationship that we are not only known by him, but we know him and walk in intimacy with him. That picture that throughout the scriptures when it talks about knowing God is the same word that could be used to translate how a man would know a woman. It's talking about relational knowledge. It's not head knowledge. It's talking about knowing someone relationally. It's talking about intimacy. John 10:3-4. Now, even before I read this, sometimes in the day in which we live, when you say, I heard God speak to me, there are some people that look at you like you're crazy. Some of you are looking at me right now saying, I think you're crazy. And yet, God can, and that's a whole other message. We can talk about the ways that God speaks to us. Yeah, not a message about how crazy I am, but there could be another whole message about the ways that we hear from God and the way God does speak to us. He speaks to us in a lot of different ways. But God's word is clear that God desires to speak to us. And Jesus is very clear in John 10, verse 3 and 4, and then down to verse 27. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus uses the analogy of the shepherd in leading his own sheep, and the sheep knowing the shepherd's voice. They know his presence. They know his voice, and they follow after him. Jesus embraces that picture of what it means to follow after Christ. And he's clear in verse 27. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That picture of what God calls us to really describes the relationship that God invites us into. Later in John 17:3, this is not on the screen, but John 17:3, Jesus describes eternal life with these words. He says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is not something that's out there that's vague in the future. Eternal life is our experience of a relationship with Christ now. It's our experience of knowing him and knowing his voice and knowing his presence in our life and walking in relationship with him. I believe we could probably go on to a lot of other passages that give us a picture of the reality that we as Christians, as people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, that we've been invited to walk in intimacy with God. We've been invited to walk close to him. And yet, what I'd like to do is to shift gears a little bit and think about some of the obstacles that keep us from experiencing that intimacy. One of the idea of the obstacles, I think on the next slide, I think I have it. Each of them listed. I can go to the next slide. Maybe not. Okay, good. This will keep the note takers from going too far ahead of me. There are a number of obstacles that keep us from experiencing the intimacy that God has for us to experience with him. And one of the most clear things is the obstacle of unconfessed sin. Or you could probably say more habitual sin. Sin that we tolerate in our life. That we somehow just say, oh, it's okay. We get a comfort level to say, I know it's sin. I know it's not what God has for me, but I'm just leaving it there. God's word is clear that there's a difference between being in a relationship with God and walking in fellowship with him. If you sin, if you come to faith in Christ, you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for you and through his resurrection, your relationship with him is secure. But you can't read through 1 John without seeing that sin, while it may not break the relationship, it impairs our fellowship, our intimacy with God. In John, 1 John verses 6 through 7, 1 John 1, 6 through 7 says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And that goes on to verse 9. Many of you know verse 9. If we confess our sins, He, speaking of Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But throughout that entire book, John is talking about walking in openness and walking in fellowship or intimacy with God and with others. And at the heart of that is coming clean before God. If there's sin in our life, rather than holding on to the sin, we confess that sin, knowing that the same forgiveness that we experience when we first come to faith in Christ is available for us even in that moment. We have to be willing to deal with the habitual sin or the unconfessed sin in our life because it, while it may not break the relationship, it impairs our intimacy with Him. Psalm 24, 3 through 4 speaks to this truth as well. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift his soul to what is false, or does not swear deceitfully. Often the sin that we hold on to, it's absolutely a heart issue of something that we're holding on to and really has become an idol in our life. Something that we are wanting or that we're pursuing apart from God and His plan for us. That picture of idolatry, we sometimes read through the Old Testament and we think, well, idolatry has nothing to do with us. And yet if we understand an idol is anything that we put ahead of God and His plan for us, and something that we hold up above Him and more important than Him, a priority above knowing Him and doing His will, it's an idol that we need to let go of. Second obstacle, and I'm well aware we could take a week on each of these. So this is a very quick overview. Often, and I have found this to be very true in talking to people and counseling people, and I found this to be true in my own life as well, but I can think of two or three times in my counseling experience where I saw a new believer really growing, they were really doing great, but it got to a point where they needed to forgive someone in their life, and they were unwilling to forgive. And I could witness it. This is much more than just a theological case. I've seen it. I've seen it happen in people's lives where someone is unwilling to forgive someone, and it has a drastic impact in their ongoing growth in their relationship with Christ. Jesus is clear. Between the parable of the unmerciful servant, or even in the words that we have in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 12, we pray and we usually use the word trespass, but verse 12 says, "And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors." Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Between that and the parable of the unmerciful servant, Jesus is very clear that we have a responsibility in the same way that we experience forgiveness to offer forgiveness to others. Again, this takes us back to the first few weeks of this series that God is concerned not only about connecting to Him, God is concerned about us connecting to one another. And if we aren't willing to forgive someone and offer forgiveness to someone, it could very clearly, based on what Scripture teaches us, could impair your experience of intimacy and walking with God. We need to be aware of if there are people in here, if you're not experiencing God's presence, you're not experiencing God's voice, I would ask you to take some time and say, God, show me, reveal to me anyone who I'm holding a grudge, to whom I'm holding a grudge, or anyone that I need to forgive. And then be willing to be obedient, to offer forgiveness, and to ask God to give you the strength to forgive. And just see if God begins to open up a new door of intimacy with Him in your life. This next one has a little bit of explanation that's needed, but the idea of false identities. Maybe a better way of describing this is the lies that we believe about ourselves. I'm convinced at the heart of really taking off spiritually and growing spiritually is beginning to see yourself as God sees you in Christ. If you begin to see yourself as God sees you in Christ and begin to walk in that truth, it is transforming. And yet too often we believe lies about ourselves, and sometimes these lies go back to our childhood, messages that we've held on to, things that we've been told, that we believe about ourselves, that God comes and says something that is drastically different. God tells us we're loved. God adopts us as His own. He cherishes us. All those things speak to the lies that too often we believe to think, I'm unwanted, I'm unloved, I'm not important. Each of you probably have some lie that you've believed about who you are, and if you're not willing to go to God's Word and let God's Word speak truth to you, to hold on to that truth and experience that change of identity, it will absolutely impact your experience of intimacy with Christ. John 8:31-32 says, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And I think of Romans 6, after describing what actually happens in the life of the believer and connecting with Jesus in his death and his resurrection, goes on to say that we then need to consider ourselves dead and yet alive to Christ, that, or the King James, that reckon ourselves dead and yet alive to Christ. That picture is letting the truth transform what we believe in a way that transforms our life. Last obstacle, and I would say 90% of you probably would just put this near the top of your list. It's definitely high on my list, is the issue of busyness. Busyness is something that will rob us from experiencing intimacy with God. Even busy doing good things, even busy doing ministry, can rob you of really hearing God's voice, experiencing his presence, and knowing that you're growing in intimacy with Christ. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still." How many of you find that difficult? I had to watch some of the younger quizzers yesterday. They were having a hard time being still in that seat. It's something that they have to grow into it. And I realize that's true. That's true for each of us. Most of us are wired in our culture. We want to do things. And we're always seem to be busy. And we fill our lives with so many things. And yet, this scripture speaks so clearly that we need to be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That idea of being still and knowing God's presence is key to moving beyond the obstacle of busyness to a place where we can actually draw into God's presence. And like we sang this morning, to know not only that we're drawing near to him, but he's drawing near to us. And we're going to talk a little bit here as we shift gears about how we do that. How do we, if we make the commitment to say, I'm not just going to be busy, I want to draw near to God, I want to pursue him. We're going to look at some very specific things that we can do in that. And so we're going to shift gears. We've been talking about obstacles. Everyone pick at least one of those areas of obstacles that you know is an area that you probably need to leave behind. If not, think that through. Think of at least one obstacle that we just discussed to say, I know this is something I'm guilty of. This is something I need to work on, and I'm going to try to leave that behind. But there's a second side to this, and that's the call to pursue. Again, intimacy with God requires turning away from sin, turning away from unforgiveness, turning away from our false identities and our busyness, but then actively pursuing God's voice and his presence. I want to tell you, if you want to hear God's voice and you want to sense God's presence and grow in intimacy with him, your relationship with Christ can't be casual. It can't be an add-on to your life. If you want to really experience the intimacy with Christ and really know his voice, know his presence, it can't be a casual thing. It's something we have to actively pursue. And let's look at some of the scriptures. The scriptures that talk about intimacy with Christ and our part in this. Revelation 3:20, many of you know this verse. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." So often people talk about that as like a picture of someone coming to faith in Christ, but that's actually written to Christians. And it's a picture of God desiring intimacy with us. We know this to be true today, that there's something special about sitting down and having a meal with someone, that you're connecting with that person. And that verse is giving us a picture of Christ's desire for us to know, when we hear his voice, to open up the door of our heart, open up the door of our life, inviting him in to have fellowship with him. We have to make that choice daily, often moment by moment. We have to make that choice. John 15:4-5, what I referenced earlier, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus gives us that image of how important it is for us to nurture that living relationship and connection with Jesus. Because it's our connection to Christ and that living relationship is at the heart of everything that we do in the Christian life. And if we neglect that basic relationship and developing that relationship, Jesus is clear, apart from me, you can do nothing. Even though some of us try really hard. Psalm 63:1, we read earlier, "Oh God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Matthew 6:33 uses similar language, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You know, that word, seek, emphasizes the fact that it's something that we're diligently looking for. We've all experienced the frustration of losing our keys, losing our wallet, or you lose a lot of money. You set aside some money, something important to you, and you're frantic, and you're looking, and you're obsessed about it until you find it. That's the type of urgency and earnest, diligent seeking that we're told we're to have in pursuing God, that we're to earnestly seek him, we're to seek him diligently. Which means, again, that we can't be casual about developing intimacy with Christ. If you're at a place where you just want your relationship with Christ to be an add-on, something casual that isn't going to demand any investment in your life, I hate to break this to you, but you're not going to experience much intimacy with Christ in your life. He will pursue you. The question is, will you pursue him? Some practical things to end with today. It's clear, we have to not only be willing to move away from the obstacles, we need to be willing to earnestly seek after him, put effort into our pursuit of God. I just want to run through some very practical things. And again, this is something we could take weeks to talk about. This is 1 week, one message. But I just want to give you some things to think about. And again, everyone, before you leave, you need to think of one obstacle to walk away from. You need to be thinking of one of the things that you're going to do to step up your pursuit of God this week. One of the most critical things, and I grew up experiencing this and people talking about this, if you're newer to the faith, you're newer to the church, you may have not, this may be a new concept, but the idea of developing a quiet time. Some of you with kids are thinking, I don't even know what that is, with kids at home. The idea of the picture of a quiet time is a devotional time. It's a time where you the best early in the morning, first thing. Some people can't make that work, and they do it later, and we'll talk about that in a second. But ideally, it's first thing in the morning, we have a time where we are in God's Word. It's in God's Word, listening to his Word, but also listening for his voice in prayer. Some key questions to help us, if you've never really developed a time of reading God's Word and being having a quiet time, is ask yourself, before you read, ask God to speak to you. And then ask these two questions. What is God telling me, and what am I going to do about it? Because as we open up God's Word, we begin to read God's Word and begin to hear him speak and then walk in obedience, you're going to begin to fine-tune your hearing to hear God's voice and to listen to him. You need to make that non-negotiable. And you need to learn the things that help you, the disciplines that feed your soul. If some of you like worship music. Some of you may like the Gaithers. You may like some... whatever your choice of worship music is, you can include that in your time. Listen to a song that ministers to you, but have some time where you're not only in God's Word, you're praying, but you're doing something to nurture your connection with God. Some of you know that I love being outdoors. That's why fly fishing is my favorite hobby. And I can't say I'm praying every moment that I'm out there, but I find myself really connecting to God when I'm outside. Some of you that I know run, and you run out on the trails. You experience that moment where you're just being outside. You're connecting with him. You need to learn the things in your life that have helped you connect to God and work that into your regular schedule of connecting with him. Next slide. Right there, that's it. Let your first thought be on God. If you're one of those people who the idea of doing a devotional time, extended devotional time first thing in the morning, this is a must for you. And I have found this is something I've had to do at times, and depending on what my morning schedule is like, is if I can't have extended time in God's Word first thing in the morning, I at least start with something. Some passage of Scripture, something to reflect on, something to really get my mind fixed on God and His Word. Having that, starting that way to start your day, you really have to make a choice. Most of us can reach for our phone and we have a choice. We can look at the Times Observer app. This is me, I'm confession. I can look at the Times Observer, see what's in the paper. I can look at Facebook, or I could open up my Bible app, or open up my Bible and listen for God. Years ago, one of my mentors in ministry, Paul Cope, our assistant DS, told me that, and this is long before we had Facebook and all this technology, he said he would not read the newspaper until he had opened up God's Word, read God's Word, and knew that he had heard from God. If you make that a priority, to say, before I get anything else in my mind, in my heart, I'm going to focus on God's Word and listen for His voice, it will change the way you approach your day. We need to use scriptures and short prayers to center ourselves, to have things that we can even connect to and go back to throughout the day. We need to take a Sabbath. And that's not just a day off, but a day to really rest and reconnect with God. I have found that mini retreats are incredibly helpful for me. If I can take 10 minutes throughout my day, just sometimes if I'm here in the building, I might go over under the cross over at Kaiser, or I might just turn off everything I'm working on and just try to reconnect. Ideally, my drive home is 10 minutes. So turning off the music and just having the quiet vehicle to really listen, to reconnect with God. Having a mini retreat is something I have found really helpful. Silence and solitude is the thing that I have found critical in my life. That having extended times of turning off the noise, finding a time where I can quiet my heart before God, and distance myself sometimes from people, that solitude aspect, and having a time where it's just me and God, I have found that to be critical for my own soul. And I've shared, I know, with some of you before, Ruth Haley Barton describes the need for silence and solitude in describing our soul as a jar of river water. And in that jar of river water, you shake it up, it's all stirred, and it's dirty, it's floating around, it's not clear. But if you sit it down and let it settle, all the junk settles to the bottom. That I have found to be true in my own heart, my own life. There's 101 things going on in my mind. There's 101 things going on in my heart, but if I can quiet myself, be still and know that He is God, listening for His voice, it's in those moments that I sense my soul being still and being calm before God. And the last is sacrifice. Again, there is nothing, if you want to experience intimacy with God, you can't be casual about your relationship with Him. If you want to experience true intimacy with Him, it will demand sacrifice. It might mean getting up early. It might mean turning the TV off. Is that really a sacrifice? In light of what some Christians are doing across the world and sacrifice, risking their life for Christ, us penciling out and putting another hour in our day to connect with Him, is that really that much of a sacrifice? And yet, we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to really sacrifice to give that extra time to really invest in knowing Him and invest in pursuing Him? Two things you have to think about before we leave today. What are you going to do? What obstacle, what thing do you need to leave behind? And what's the one thing you're going to do to step up your game, to step up your pursuit of God this week? I want to close by sharing a story. Some of you know that I've been in the Doctor of Ministry program at NIAC, and while its degrees really don't mean anything to me, the experience has been transforming for me. And the thing I've appreciated most about it is they really have focused a lot on my own heart, my own development. And one of the first courses where we talked about our own personal change and transformation as a leader, and our own relationship with Christ and how that plays out in our leadership, I was amazed in just focusing on the very basics of developing an ear to hear God speak and pursuing His presence in my life, of how transforming that's been in my life and in my ministry. And I had some in that week that was just incredible for me, some times where God spoke to me very clearly. Not that God hadn't been speaking to me, but it was like He had my attention. He was speaking clearly. And then in our small group prayer times, I'd have someone share something that, Doug, I sensed this. And they would just confirm what God had already told me. There is something, when you know God has spoken to you, it radically changes the game. When you know God has spoken to your heart, it radically changes how you pursue your relationship with Him. When you know that He desires for us to hear His voice, He desires for you to know His presence, He desires for us to walk in intimacy with Him. I want to ask you, if you've thought about a time in your life you were experiencing that and you want something, cast off anything that's keeping you from pursuing Him today. I have been so blessed to not only experience in just a rejuvenated personal relationship with Christ over the last few years in my own walk with Him, but also as I'm busy for the Lord and doing ministry, trying to maintain an ear to listen for Him and to listening for His voice and sensing His presence when I'm talking. You need to know, if you sit in my office in counseling, there's often a three-way conversation going on there. I'm listening to you, but I'm also trying to listen to God to see what He would want to say. My first 16 years of ministry, I didn't do that. I prayed before and I pray after, maybe prayed during, but it wasn't that constant really listening for God's voice while I'm talking and ministering, because I have nothing good to give you. But if I'm ministering to you and I come before God and I'm asking God to speak to me so that I can then speak to you, those are the moments that are life-changing. And it's my prayer, as this whole series we've been talking about, what does a follower of Christ really look like, who's going to impact the world with God's love? I pray that for each of us, that we would know God's voice, that we would know His presence, and that our lives would be every day being transformed and changed because we know we're walking in a living relationship with Christ. It's my prayer for you. It's my prayer for me. And as the musicians come and lead us in a closing song, I just pray that if there are things you know you need to let go of, or you realize you've been casual about your relationship with Christ, I encourage you, take a step in obedience, whether you come to the altar today or whether you have an important conversation with someone to hold you accountable on these things today. I encourage you, don't neglect actively pursuing Him, walking away from the obstacles, whatever that you've identified, and then actively pursuing Him, diligently, earnestly seeking after God, pursuing His presence, pursuing His voice this week. Will you pray with me as the musicians come? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You that You desire for us to really know You. You desire for us to know Your voice, to know Your presence. And I just pray that today that Your Spirit would even in this moment be speaking. We invite Your Holy Spirit to come to fill this place, to fill our hearts and our lives. And may we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have been in Your presence today. But Lord, for the person here that's been casual about their relationship with You, Lord, I pray that You would, if necessary, You'd bring conviction. That Your Spirit would bring conviction and that they would be moved to take a step of obedience today towards You. But Lord, I pray that You would help us each to identify those obstacles, those things that keep us from really experiencing intimacy with You and then actively pursuing You. May we be willing to sacrifice maybe a little bit of sleep, maybe a little bit of TV, maybe a little bit of something, so that we can actively pursue You this week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.